Well, hello everyone. Happy Sabbath. Mr. Zimmerman sends his regards. He's in Fort Myers, I believe. And he's getting energy back day by day, which is nice to see. We went over to St. Pete this morning, and on the way back, we had the privilege of having Mr. Corey Gennaro with us, who rarely cracks jokes. But he asked this question about, what do you call a lion that has glasses? A scientist lion. And my wife says, is that the joke? Your official joke has been said there, Mr. Gennaro. So he probably gets more kick out of it than, or my son, Steven, just think that's the funniest thing as well. You know, life has many interesting facts. Many interesting facts. For instance, smiling releases endorphins in the body, which make people feel better. It just does. Or how about this one? A small amount of alcohol placed on a scorpion will cause it to go crazy and sting itself. Cause and effect. Did you know that? Or how about the reason most mosquito bites itch is because mosquitoes inject the saliva into the person's skin before they suck out your blood, and that saliva contains an anticoagulant. And the anticoagulant is what causes the bump and causes you to itch, but allows them to suck your blood. How about this one? Any space vehicle must travel 7 miles per second to escape the Earth's gravitational pull, or 25,200 miles per hour. Right? Cause and effect, laws that are in presence. One other one, I like this one, a couple other ones. Pearls melt in vinegar. So don't clean your pearls with vinegar. Or, a recent study at Harvard has shown that eating chocolate can actually help you live longer. My question is, how much chocolate? And my last one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, this world is full of cause and effect. Reaction and action. Cause and effect. And what is most interesting, usually, is the outcome. Here we find in Matthew 5, come with me there, please. Matthew 5. That Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What quality would necessitate the inheritance of the earth? When you look at this particular message that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew 5, we have come to know it as the Sermon on the Mount. However, it has not been westernized in the sense of a sermon. For Jesus Christ was sitting outdoors. He wasn't dressed a certain way. He was dressed just like in his casual clothes. He's sitting outdoors, sitting among the people. He wasn't having an overpowering presence and telling them that you need to be blessed and you'll inherit the earth. That wasn't the tone. It wasn't a sermon like he was coming down on the people to say, you need to do these things. But instead he was sharing and he was teaching principles, axioms of behavior, suggestions that would improve us from the Creator. Things that we would like to do because we really want to be blessed. He was offering these things in a way of encouragement. He was giving away that day jewels when he gave that message. And there's a lot to be said for everyone who wants to be part of the kingdom of God. But this definition of meek is an interesting one. If you ask people, they'll say, oh, it means humility. Well, don't you have another one here that says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven? But then is he repeating himself? But then you say, okay, well, it's gentleness. That's the closest, I believe, in the English. It's gentleness. However, there's still some splitting of hairs of what meekness is versus humility versus gentleness. The Greek word praus, P-R-A-U-S, is where they get the word meek from. And in one definition, it means soothing medicine. We have some kind of ache, pain, something not right, and you put it on there, it's like, oh, that feels better. Soothing medicine. Another definition, a gentle breeze. And if you live in Zephyr Hills, you know a zephyr is a gentle breeze. The third one might perhaps be one of the more interesting ones. Farmers use the same term in Greek society to mean a broken colt. One that is now under control. And perhaps the best one is an amalgamation of all of them, meaning strength under control. Strength under control. It's a type of humility. Just a type of it. Leo Rosten, who's a doctor, said, I learned that it is the weak who are cruel, and that gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. Weak who are learned that it is the weak who are cruel, and that gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. So my SPS in the short time we have today, thank you, Mr. Fike, for leaving me some time, is that it takes faith to be gentle. It takes faith. It takes a sense of confidence in God that He will perform behind the scenes, invisibly, to bring forth the product of gentleness. Come with me, please, to Psalms. We'll go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. We will begin in verse 8. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. The person that has that attitude, he will guide. What is it that attracts God himself to that kind of attitude, to that kind of spirit within us? Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant, his agreement. They obey his testimonies. Verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears, respects, reveres the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, he will not have stress. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, those descendants, his children, and his children and children, shall inherit the earth. For the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, for he will show them his covenant. And the caveat is, he tells us in verse 9, is it the meek? It is the gentle at heart. Come with me to Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, please. Zephaniah always hides in my book. I do that to you too? It's after Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. Zephaniah chapter 2. And verse 3. I'm trying really hard not to lick my fingers. I will tell you why, Sandy. serious. Sorry. Chapter 2, verse 3. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Such a quality. God looks at that quality enough where he'll say, I'm going to preserve you for having it. And later will give you the earth as an inheritance. What is it about that particular quality? Psalm 37. Let's go back to Psalm. Psalm 37, verse 9. Thank you for putting the water up here, whoever does that. For evildoers, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth, bites him. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and they have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. But it is the meek, in verse 11, that shall inherit the earth. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him that shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Verse 29. For the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. It is the meek that it refers to here. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Verse 33, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. A time in the future. A time in the future. You know, we keep those holy days of God, and I've said it often. We keep those seven holy days of God, which are broken down into three seasons, the first being that of Passover. Those people that left Israel, leaving Egypt, and the blood over the doorpost had not a clue that that would be Jesus Christ's blood in the future, that it would represent that. Not a clue. They had not a clue that in 50 days later on Mount Sinai, when they got the law, that Pentecost would do the same thing inside of a person. And last and most important, but the most hard to accept, is season 3, that the Feast of Tabernacles comes. And that is where the inheritance of the earth comes. And the earth we have today is tainted. It's not under the rule of Jesus Christ and God the Father. It is under the rule of Satan. You find it in your Bible. You see it on the streets. You find it in people everywhere. But yet we have a quality here that Jesus puts out in a setting of friends where he tells us, you want to be blessed? And be a gentle person. Have some meekness in your soul. It's not eye for an eye. It's not who will end up first. Who's strongest, smartest, most talented. Do not kid yourself. We should not do that to ourselves. It is the meek. The gentle-hearted person, that is the person that God is looking to. Psalm 149. Come with me to Psalm 149. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. What beautiful terms. To beautify us for our meekness with salvation? I could have never come up with such words. And who are these children of Zion in verse 2? Who are they? Come with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, the people alive before Christ's second return, are the people of the city of Mount Zion, are the people that the Sermon on the Mount was preached to. It was preached specifically to give us a quality of being that would earn what he calls the inheritance of the earth. Samuel Ann On War, who's an author, he said, "If a violent person wishes to attack us, let us send him a gentle phrase, as this will diffuse his violence." Does it sound a lot like Proverbs 15:1, where it says a soft word will turn away wrath? Soft answer. Come with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. A few pages back. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. Not just within the people of this room, not just within our families, but to all men. We're supposed to be that way. Because if we weren't, we would be hypocrites. We would be treating one another one way and others a different way. We are anticipated by God to have a consistency in our heart, in our mind, in our attitude that pervades all of what we do all of the time. And this one quality is what he says. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, Mr. Fike, that gave the message earlier, something came to me this morning, and I just kind of put it in there, and I'm going to put it in there again. If you go with me to Acts 20, you can hold your finger if you want on 2 Timothy because we'll come back there. But Acts 20. In Acts 20, and I believe it was verse 31. Speaking of Paul. He says, "And therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Do you think he was convicted of his beliefs to the place where he would have done anything to have people understand the importance of having Jesus Christ's plan in mind? For 3 years he stayed and tried to convince them in the same spot, not on weekends only, to the place of tears. This is the kind of conviction that God is looking for. This is the kind of heart that he's looking for. Not just going through motions. He wants that heart. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, because then we can go to Titus. Just trying to make that easier. It's only a book away. Titus chapter 3. Verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, fighters, and such, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men, uncontentious. That meekness there adds something to the gentleness, but gentle, showing uncontentiousness to all men. We all know that when there's contention between people, words come out that shouldn't come out the way they should. But they do. And we all know that if we can prepare the heart, and that is the meaning of meekness, it's the attitude of heart before the word is spoken. And if you prepare the heart properly, then the words will flow the right way. They won't be condescending. They'll be kind. They'll be gentle. And they will be received much better. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2. Now I know we all want to inherit the earth. We want to be in the resurrection where Jesus Christ is there. We want to be in a millennial rule where we're participants. This is your chance. This is your chance, and your chance, and your chance, and my chance. This is it. This is where the proving ground is. And he's telling us how to do it. 1 Thessalonians 2. The way Paul words this is very nice. He says in verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children, tenderly cares for her children." We were gentle. We weren't coarse in our words and our actions. We were gentle. And this quality is what God sees as a very important quality. Come with me to James, the book of James, please. I tried to group these all together so we didn't have to slam back and forth. Chapter 3, James, chapter 3, please. Verse 16. James 3, verse 16. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work, because it has disorder. There's selfish ambition. It's not having that sense of meekness." Verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works and good fruits, without favoritism, without hypocrisy, consistent in application, all the time, everywhere. And the fruit of righteousness," verse 18, "is sown in peace of them that make peace." And what is the predominant atmosphere in the world tomorrow during the millennium that God is seeking as the King of peace? And this quality is necessary to have peace. Is there anything that important that we feel we can't be like that? I spoke with a friend of mine last night who was in a wheelchair, had a stroke. It's been going on since March last year. Probably will not leave the nursing home. Cannot wipe his behind. He changes diapers 3 times a day. And he says, "You know what though? Minister in the church has full use of his mind, but can't do anything possibly, mostly for himself, that we take for granted." And he is reminded of the quality of meekness every day Maybe that's what it takes. Don't know. I talked to him last night. It breaks my heart every time. Cause and effect. There's a connection between our meekness, gentleness, and the inheritance of the earth. God says so. Hebrews 11. Come with me there, please. Hebrews 11. This Hall of Fame chapter, Hebrews 11, they call it that, the Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame chapter here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see that third season, the kingdom of God, out there very clearly. You do see Jesus Christ has come. You do feel the Holy Spirit and can be convicted by His Holy Spirit by repenting and changing your ways. Yes, you can do that. But to be able to believe and see that kingdom takes a little more. You need to have hope, and you certainly need to have faith through the whole thing. Here's the thing. If you read these scriptures now, beginning in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, if you have a struggle, do you believe He is who He is or not? It doesn't say, without faith, it is improbable. It says, impossible. Cannot be done. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Cause and effect. And then you have examples in verse 7 of Noah building an ark. Who had to believe that the flood was coming. It wasn't raining when he started the ark. And you have Abraham in verse 8 who was called to go out. He had no idea where he was going and why. He went to a strange land and was told to look for a city whose foundations and maker were God. These were all elements of faith. The thing that's so interesting about these people, in verse 13, is that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They saw Him afar off, and they were persuaded, and they embraced Him. And they confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims, temporary residents on this earth. They confessed all of that. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He prepares for them a city, and is preparing that city today. And it goes on to repeat what happened with faith in verse 17, 18, 19, and goes through. But when you get down to verse 24, and it reiterates that faith of Moses, who didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but chose to suffer affliction, which most people won't want to do, naturally. In verse 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect of the recompense of the reward. Now, how is it that he esteemed the reproach of Christ when Jesus Christ wasn't born yet? How could he esteem such a thing? Because he had faith in God in its totality. When you look at verse 39, and it talks about all of these that have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. For God, having provided, verse 40, some better thing for us, that they without us, the people here in this room before the return of Jesus Christ, who would have a clearer vision of everything God's been doing through history, would prepare for the kingdom of God. And it says, to be made perfect. And if you think your life is perfect because of faith, then you need to look at some of these other verses in verse 33, 34, 35, where it says some of them were tortured to death and struggled in their faith. There's no magic behind faith. There's no health and wealth gospel here. That's not the way it works. But somehow when we have trouble, somehow when we talk to a friend that's in a wheelchair and is going to be in this nursing home situation, probably for the rest of his being, Something is being created there. Tells you verse 37. They were stoned. You think while they were getting hit with stones, was their faith being challenged? How do you think they felt? Slain with the sword, and their families killed, etc. They still had to have faith. Because there was a purpose. The old patriarchs did not receive the same kind of clarity of thought that we have. They didn't have the knowledge of the holy days. They didn't have the knowledge of the covenants. They didn't have the knowledge of what was coming. They didn't know Jesus Christ like we did. And if we didn't know him, then I don't know if we would be here. Because we can find something else to do today. It's the Sabbath. It's part of those Ten Commandments. Part of that time where we're told to observe and create a better relationship with him. Are we using this day right? Or are we just maybe a bit selfish or not thoughtful? Come with me to Romans 8, please. Really would like for us all to be in the kingdom when we don't have some of the worries we have today and to be able to sit and go, that was a little tougher than I thought it was going to be. Because we all die. And you make a choice. What's under the other side of that casket? It's on the other side of here. Make your choices now. Please. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted by God. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. When you repent and you change and you get baptized, that Spirit inoculates your heart and your spirit with the Spirit of God. And it is a down payment for what comes, and that's why you become a child and an heir. Verse 17, and if children were heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, who has died and is coming back again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. Don't know that we can see it much clearer than what he says here, because he has it in such clear language right before us. The question is, do you have faith to believe it? Do you have faith to believe and install that faith in one quality? One quality. There's others, but one quality today we're talking about. That is meekness. For it tells you here in verse 22 that we know that the whole creation groans and suffers in pain until now. For not only they, those before us, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits, verse 25, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And it's called those first fruits because it's part of the first resurrection. Jesus Christ was the first of many brethren to be born. And when we're using meekness or not using meekness, we should consider the firstborn brother, our older brother, who gave his blood, his life, for us. Galatians 5. Come with me there, please. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, look what he does here. He separates gentleness and meekness for good reason. Because one of them has to do with how you apply the meekness. Meekness in its purest intent is not an action. It's an attitude. It is what is inside of you. And then you apply it with gentleness. Matthew 11. Come with me to Matthew 11. verse 28, in the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, Jesus says, all you that labor, work so hard, and are heavy laden, and have stress and worries, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the place to start. The place to start is a prayer with Jesus Christ in you, and you say, we have an agreement, I am going to do this. And I am going to be like you, and I will be a meek person, and I will work on gentleness, and I will work on being a humble spirit. Come with me to Revelation as we start to wind down. Revelation chapter 5. As you might recall, when we talk about the covenants, the land covenant, which is the one that basically ends up promising that the earth would go back to Jesus Christ, when you look at this particular scripture in Revelation 5, verse 1, it says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written inside and on the backside, it was written on the inside, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Well, obviously they didn't have books at that time. They were referring to a scroll. And the scroll was turned so that the type was on the inside so you couldn't read it. And it had a wedged type ending on it, and it had seals placed down there. So it can be progressively opened. That's what he's enumerating there when he's talking about that verse 1. Then he says in verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Pulling back those seals. And it says in verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, John says, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Why would he weep over that unless it had value? It had to have some value. Excuse me. Verse 5, and one of the elders says to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book, speaking of Jesus Christ, and to loose the seven seals thereof. In this event now, we start to see a turning of events to begin what is known as the third season, the millennial season, the return of Jesus Christ, the time period of the first resurrection, what we all want to be in. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the spirits, seven spirits of God. We believe that from the book of Ezekiel that these are angels. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, giving him all of the respect and honor due, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a song, a beautiful new song, saying, you are worthy to take this book, to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation. And because of all of that, verse 10, you have made us to our God kings and priests that shall reign on the earth. The effect of the cause of meekness of those people is the reigning on the earth at Jesus Christ's return. One more scripture, Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist, nor his image, neither had they received his mark. They haven't accepted anything regarding that culture. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, a goal worth pursuing. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection, and blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Cause and effect. Smiling releases endorphins in your body and makes you happy. Mosquitoes, they bite you and make you itch. Alcohol will cause a scorpion to go crazy and sting himself. Chocolate may make you live a little longer. Good, huh? Pearls will be melted with vinegar. And the cause effect of you being meek is to inherit the earth. Let's choose to be gentle.